Let's go ahead and get our Bibles open once again to Romans chapter number 12. This morning we looked at talking about how a revived heart is a submissive heart. We talked about getting to the spot in our Christian lives where we say, hey, Lord, this is your life. You can have it. And we're going to talk, just remind of some things we learned today. This and that we looked at a little bit just for a few minutes in the book of Luke, talking about the man that was willing to submit his donkey to the Lord by just the phrase, the Lord hath need of him. And tonight we're going to look at a revived life is a transformed life. A revived life is a transformed life. And before we leave these thoughts about revival, and this will probably be our last message when it comes to revival, and then next week and talk a little bit about Memorial Day and the morning message, and still praying about what we're going to do in the Sunday evening service. And then after the church picnic, we're going to spend the summer going through Christ headed to Calvary and at Calvary and the raising from the dead from the book of Luke. And looking forward to that. Always excited to get back and see what Christ did for us. And hopefully that will be an encouragement and a reviving to your heart and your mind and your spirit. So to go over a little bit of what we learned this morning, I know some were in the back. I know some might be here that wasn't here this morning. And also to remind us, because I know it's easy to forget things. We spent a little bit of time reminding you that where revival comes from. And revival is when God does a work inside and then causes us to change outwardly. We made the first statement, revival must never move from emotion to the truth. And sometimes people equate revival with an emotional feeling, an emotional desire, but the reality is it's, it begins with the truth, and from the truth, then we go to the emotion. Revival always moves from truth to the emotion. If you deal with emotion and base everything off of emotion, when the emotion goes away, then the truth goes away. But if you let God respond, if you respond to the working of God and you respond to God doing a work in your heart from a truth, and then the emotion comes from the truth, not and then it's something that will last. What revival really is new strength in Christian life. It's being changed from the inside out. It's being awakened to Christ. It's being awakened, once again, brought back to the reality in life, what Christ asks, what Christ expects, and what Christ needs. Hey, Mr. Gregor, it's a little bit loud up here. I don't know if we can get that. Thank you. It's not something that comes from the outside. It's not something because we had people that could sing or preachers that could just kind of sell something or just be emotional. And once again, there is emotions. When God does a work in our heart, there is times when we're going to be joyful and we're going to be happy. And when we hear songs about Jesus and the singing about Jesus is something that brings joy to our hearts and lives. It's because we understand the truth that comes from the inside. We got to let God do the work inside. It can't be about setting the right scene outwardly. You can't prescribe revival. You can't plan revival. It's a heart that God's working on. And when he does something inside, it will outwardly show. What affects us inwardly will sooner or later affect us outwardly. Our beliefs should affect our behavior. If you have certain doctrines, this should affect our behavior. Those beliefs will change the way you live. They should affect your behavior. So if we truly believe what we heard today in verse number 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. If we believe that we should present our bodies as a living sacrifice, that is a truth that is found from the word of God. We looked at what that meant. Then we should say, God, I want to get to the spot where I give everything to you, and I'm presenting my body as a living sacrifice to you. I want it to be holy, set apart for God. I want it to be acceptable to you. And I understand that that's my reasonable service. This is where we're going to. That is a holy aspiration. It's not something that we should say, oh, that's good for some people. No, that's something we should be working towards. We let beliefs change our behavior. We are going to let the truth affect our emotions. We're not going to let emotion set the stage. We're not going to let emotion dictate what we do and what we say. That gets us in trouble because the emotion is where our center, our heart is, and our heart can be deceitful. Our mind can be deceitful. It's desperately wicked, but truth is something that never changes. And if we base it off the truth and we allow our emotions come from the truth that's presented to us, guess what happens then? It not only produces a change inwardly, it produces a change outwardly. And not only does it set the stage for truth, which is the Bible and the Word of God, it sets a stage that's going to change our lives and change the lives of those that are around us. Revival comes through an informed life and a transformed life. So this morning we talked about the information that God gives us and how we respond by yielding our heart. I just want people to be deceived into thinking, you know, I had revival this past week, man, it was great, it felt good. And once again, when you get your heart right, it's going to feel good. But I tell you, when we have sin in our hearts and sin in our lives, there is a godly sorrow that brings us to repentance that says, as a Christian, as a believer, I don't want that sin. My heart is broken over that sin. As a Christian, as a believer, because we have the Holy Spirit to help us, I'm turning from that sin as a believer, and I am putting my faith and trust in God. As a believer, we can do those things. Now, so this morning we looked at why we should have a submissive heart, and how does he beseech us? By the mercies of God. Because of the mercies of God, we should have a submissive heart. There's a reason why. It's not just because the preacher says it. It's because it's not even just a commandment of God. When we consider the mercies of God, when we consider Romans 1 through 11, it teaches us we're sinners. Christ loved us. Christ died for us. Based off of those truths, we should say, I want to present my body a living sacrifice. How do we have a submissive heart? It's when we present our bodies. Is having a submissive heart asking too much? The answer is no. According to what the Bible says, it's a reasonable service. To someone who yields their life to the Lord, a transformation begins to happen. To someone who has a submissive heart and say, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. I desire to give myself over to you. I desire to give my heart and my life over to you. There's a transformation that happens. You say, well, Pastor, how can I get to that spot where I want to be that submissive heart? I want to be a yielded heart. How do I get there? In Romans chapter 12, verse number 2, gives us some insight on that. If you desire to have a transformed life, it begins with a decision. And I think the decision starts here in verse number 2. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I'd like to look at three things inside this verse about how a revived life is a transformed life. A life is transformed only by God and through his word. Paul moves from dealing with the body and moves with dealing with the presentation of our body as a living sacrifice to dealing with our mind. Because the only way we're going to have that submissive heart, the only way we're going to be willing to respond to that and say, Lord, here's my life, take it, use it, is when we allow God to transform our thinking. Because what we think inwardly is what we're going to become outwardly. What we put inside and the things that affect us inside, the things that change us on the inside, they will show on the outside sooner or later. It is something that will come out. And our heart and our mind is where the root of the problem is anyway. And when we get the mind to think as it should, the body will definitely obey and follow along. It's a matter of conquering the mind. It's a matter of winning the victory, the battlefield of our mind. It's a matter of taking for and allowing God to transform our lives. So here's the first thing. We must make the choice to shun the mold. Shun the mold. M-O-L-D. Now, when you say, where are you getting at, Pastor? Look at what it says in verse number 2, and be not conformed to this world. We are commanded not to be conformed to this world. The word conform means to fashion. Means to shape. It actually literally means to mold. We are not allowed for this world to squeeze us into some type of mold. We are not to allow the world to make us like it is. And that's what the world tries to do. I don't know about you, if you've been living in this world the last 10 or 20 years, we've seen an amped up in the media that tries to tell you, okay, you need to think this way. You need to act this way. You need to believe this way. They used to, and they introduced this to us in a wrapped up package and says, we need to be tolerant. We need to accept what other people think and accept what other people believe. And if you're tolerant, we'll be happy. No, they weren't happy with that. You know what they do now? They say, we want you to be happy for us in our sin. No longer do we want you to be tolerant. We think that you should rejoice over it. Even though you think it's wicked, even though you think it's wrong, all that the media does, all those different outlets, many of the outlets, will push a liberal ungodly viewpoint. Why is that? It's because they're trying to tell you what you should think. They're trying to mold you into a certain image, and they want to change the inside of you so the outside of you will be affected. And then as they change the inside and they conform you to the world, guess what? Your minds are not going to be transformed. You're not going to have a submissive heart. Well, the world we live in, its system, it tries to squeeze us into its way of thinking. God says if you're going to be a Christ follower, you cannot fit into the mold of this world. You cannot allow the things of this world to train you on how you're supposed to think and how you're supposed to feel. That's what the Word of God is supposed to do. And our emotions and those things that the world says, this is how you, I don't know about you, but I get tired of churches when they change and they change away from they know what true Bible doctrine is to believe things such as, you know, homosexuality is okay. You know, gay marriage is okay. You know, and they take different biblical principles. Abortion, it's good, it's okay. And they present things to you, and they present it in a way and in a light that says, this is how you're supposed to think. I want you to conform your mind to what I'm thinking, and here's my reasons, and here's the, you know, 10 or 20 years ago, 30 or 40 years ago, these things would have been said no. No, but the world is changing. It's conforming itself into a certain image, into where they are not only not trying to hide their sin, they are celebrating their sin. And now they're looking at you and saying, you need to celebrate it with us, because if you don't celebrate it with us, you are intolerant. You are not a right type of American. You're not who we should be. You're different than what we stand for as America. And that's not what America was founded upon. That's not the principles that America was founded upon. And how has that transpired? It's because people have allowed the world to conform their thinking. They have allowed it step by step. And it's sad, and I think we should fight for our young people, because we see it happening in our young people's lives. They sometimes go to the wrong schools. Sometimes they go to the wrong colleges. Sometimes they get around the wrong influences, and they begin questioning things that are completely different than what the world says. You say, Pastor, what happened there? In verse number one, they didn't say, hey, Lord, this is your life. I want to do what you want me to do. Help me to know and understand. And if we're going to make a decision to want a dedicated life, we need to say, I need to shun the mold. I need to say, I'm not going to let this world mold me into what it wants you to be. And I don't want you to become a little Brian Pease. The world has enough Brian Pieses. But what I desire for us to do is to become biblical people and look from things from biblical standpoints. And I know that sometimes preferences are things that somebody might agree or disagree on. And some people might look at the Word of God one way or another way, and we might have to wait till we get to heaven to figure out what is who was right and who was wrong. But the Bible is not for private interpretation. The Bible is, when it speaks the truth and it speaks loudly, we need to say, you know what, that's what's going to conform my thinking. And he's saying, be not conformed to this world. You see, the world and those things, those who are controlled by its influences, are vastly different than what God intends man to be. If you look at what the results of the flesh, if you look at the results of what the world is bringing up, if you look at what the world takes you and where the world takes you, you think about the days of Noah. You think about Sodom and Gomorrah. You see the things that they have allowed the world to conform their thinking. They didn't wake up one day thinking, you know, we should kill the babies that are inside the bellies of the moms. They didn't think that way at the beginning. We think it's okay to undress in public in front of us. You know, they didn't start off that way. It's the world system, and the devil, who is the prince and power of the air, has conformed this world into doing things contrary to what God says, and then makes you question and wonder what God says, if he really meant it. Like he said to Eve, yea, have God said. He wanted Eve to conform to the thinking of the devil, thinking that God was stealing some joy from her and stealing what was her perfect and acceptable will of God for her life. And he says, this is the way you should be thinking. You're thinking the wrong way. That's conforming to the world. Think about what it says in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 23. Now the works of the flesh, now look at these, are manifest, which means they're coming to light. They is what has been done with our fleshly nature. And when you do not fight the flesh, which are these, even I believe a believer can allow some of these things to happen in their lives. But look at the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Adultery. And people don't talk bad about adultery anymore. It's normal. It happens on TV shows all the time. I don't know what happens on Primetime America anymore. I don't really care. But I know back when I watched those Primetime America, when I probably shouldn't, 20 or 25 years ago, you know what? Adultery was not something that was talked bad about. You know, it's, oh, they deserve it. Their husband treats them wrong. Their wife treats them wrong. It's okay for them to go find somebody who loves them. That's wicked. And it is a manifestation of the flesh. Adultery, fornication. You know, the world mindset today is, yeah, you should try living together before you get married. You know why? Because you might not be compatible. That's wickedness. But the world teaches you that. And the world we live in, if you ask probably the people in the university today, there is probably a majority of people says, yeah, that's okay. It's because they have conformed to the thinking of this world. Uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. Things that people used to have to hide in what they're doing. They make TV shows about it. They force it on kids, and they present it as something that is not a big deal nowadays and say, here, just get involved in this. And what they're doing is through their TV and through their media and through their books, they're causing people to conform into the image of the world. Variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness. You know, they're condemning these things today, but they're condemning the wrong things. They're condemning the fact that the world says it's okay unless something bad happens. Go ahead and get drunk unless it's the drunkenness happens, you know, when you kill somebody. And this, they're missing the root of the area, and it's dealing with their flesh. Revelings and such like, of which I tell you before, I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, verses 22 and 23, the Bible says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There's a difference there. There's a difference to conforming to the world and conforming to the image of His Son. And the Bible's saying if you want to present your body as a living sacrifice, if you want to get to that yielded heart and that spot where it says in verse number 1, Lord, it's yours anyway, how do you get there? You don't conform to the world. You shun the mold. You don't listen to something that is contrary to the Word of God. You do not listen to something that is telling you differently than what the Bible preaches and teaches. Next thing is you shape the mind. Not only do you shun the world, you shape the mind. You say, well, how in the world am I supposed to not be conformed to the world? How in the world am I supposed to have that mindset? And the Bible tells you there, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, you're supposed to transform. God does a transformation in your life. When you get to that spot and say, I'm yielded to you, Lord. I'm submissive to you, Lord. Whatever it is that you want, Lord, I desire it, and I'm going to shape my mind. How am I going to not conform to the world? How am I going to shun the world? How do I know what is right and what is wrong? And that's where we come across in the day and time that we live in. It's like, Pastor, if I knew what was right, then I would do it. Sometimes I'm just confused. What is right and what is wrong? There's a transformation that can happen. It begins in verses 1 when you say, hey, Lord, I'm yours. Whatever you say, whatever you want, that's what I'm willing to do. And then you say, I'm not going to conform to this world, but I'm going to renew my mind. It's something I'm going to get into the Word of God, and I'm going to allow God to transfer my mind and transform me into a person that's like His Son. It's by the renewing of your mind. I think of that word transformation. I know you've heard this as an illustration before. That word transform comes from our English word metamorphosis, and describes a transformation from a caterpillar into a beautiful butterfly. Did you know that the caterpillar and a butterfly are the same creature? Of course they are. What happens when a caterpillar enters the cocoon and later emerges is that part of the insect that resides on the inside is allowed to be manifested on the outside. And the picture that's here is that inside of us is the Spirit of God. There is that spiritual man that has that love, that man that has that joy, the man that has that peace. And that is the change God wants to effect in each of His children. You see, He has moved into our hearts and He has saved us. He has transformed our spirit and He changed us into His child. Now He wants to transform our mind. He wants to transform that fleshly thinking that we have, that the flesh may be changed. And we must remember that this flesh will do what its mind tells it to do. It is only when the mind is changed and brought under the power of God that the flesh can be brought under control. How is this accomplished? It's by filling our hearts and minds with the Word of God, by ordering one's life after the teaching and commands of God, by cutting off the oneself or the selfish thinking and the things of this world, the influences of the world, and by allowing the Spirit of God to control our mind. So how do you know? Well, one of the great ways we know is through the Word of God. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And then we know that the Word of God can take care of this, and He can be a discerner for you. Sometimes we're supposed to be a discerning person. We're supposed to look at things, and we're supposed to consider things. We're going to look at understanding the will of God in a second. And how do we do that? How do we look at something and say, I just don't know if it's right. I just don't know if it's wrong. The Bible is something that, as we allow it to renew our minds, wherewithal shall a young man be cleansed his ways, by taking heed according to his word. How does it happen? It's when we allow the Word of God to be our critic. It's when we allow the Word of God to teach us the difference between what is in us and what is of God. Because what is in us sometimes can confuse us, but because we have been brought to understand and taught that this is right or this is wrong, we need to go to the spot and say, Lord, teach me what is inside me. Am I having the right motives? Am I doing it for the right reasons? Am I living for God? Do I have the right perspective in there? Because our mind has strongholds in it to the point where we just don't even know that we're sinning. We don't even know that we're failing. We don't even know that we're offering our body as a living sacrifice, but it's not acceptable unto God because we've been conformed into the image of this world. The Bible is the critic that discerns the difference between what is of us and what is of God. The Word of God is the one thing that can tell us whether we are pleasing the Lord or living for ourselves. And if we immerse ourselves in the Word of God, if we allow the Word of God, we can be transformed from that worldly thinking and being conformed to this world to the conformed into the image of His Son by what? The renewing of your mind. Paul's statement that the mind must be renewed, and the only way that it can be possible is by transforming it through the Word of God. You know, I think it's an illustration, and one preacher put it this way. You see, just as the body of the caterpillar hides the butterfly within, the flesh hides the glorious new man living in every redeemed person this evening. The mind must be brought under the control of the Lord so the flesh can be subdued and so we can crucify the flesh and we can die to it daily and the new man who is made in the image of God can be set free. Basically, the Lord is attempting to do this in our lives. He wants us to have the mind of Christ. He wants us to look, and then once again, they're going to glorify our Father which is in heaven, because when you start thinking and acting like God wants you to do, it's going to be as a beautiful thing as a butterfly is compared to the caterpillar. The third thing, not only shun the mold and shape the mind, is seek God's will. Seek God's will. Look what it says at the end of the verse. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There's a description here that he says here, and there's three words he uses here. Good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. First of all, it's good. Regardless of what the Lord may ask us to do, we're always going to find it in the end it's good. We're always going to come to the spot and we're going to understand that He can work all things together for good. Even though we might not see it now, it might be something we have to see in the long run. One of the songs that the McBrides sing, it's one of my favorites that they sing, it's called You Were There. And it talks about the song about how they were there for, you were there for Joseph, you were there for Moses, you were there for all these different people. And in the song it says, in the end, I'm going to see that you were there for me too. That you were there for me, and even though I didn't see it, and even though I didn't understand it, just like Joseph couldn't have seen the good in Potiphar's house, or in the pit, or in the jail cell, or wherever he was, in the end, he could say, God meant it for good. And we got to understand that when we come to the spot, if we say, I'm not going to be conformed to this world, I'm going to renew my mind, and I'm going to prove what is that good. That thing that is good for me, even though we might say staying in my marriage is hard and tough, even though I say obeying my parents is hard and tough, even though we might say doing this is right and that's hard and tough, it is good. no matter what the devil will tell you and whatever this flesh will tell you. The devil will tell you, and he'll bring to the spot, God is trying to hurt you. God's will is going to take all your fun out of your life. God's will is going to bring you to a spot that you're going to be miserable, and you're not going to be loved by anyone. You're not going to be understood by anyone. No one's going to care about you. And so many people have bought into that lie that they've been conformed to this world and to the thinking of this world to the point that they're miserable, and the reality that God's will is good for us. Even though sometimes we can't see it right now. But he says that he can make all things work together. Don't be afraid of God's will. Don't be afraid to allow the word of God to transform your mind and allow the word of God to come to the point to say, you know, this is what's good for me. When I don't want to eat my green vegetables, I'm told it's good for you. You should eat them. It's good for you. And it's good for you. The devil in the flesh will tell you the Lord's ideas are outdated. And they're against what anybody common sense thinks. Well, what's the devil trying to do? He's trying to bring hurt and problems into your world and into your life. The devil could care less about you. You go back and you see the people he devastated, the Judases of the worlds and the Achans of the worlds and the Korahs of the worlds and even Eve and the different devastation that sin can bring and the heartbreak that sin can bring and the, oh, it's not good. But the will of God, it's good. So it says here that you may prove, and we need to prove what is good, and what is next? Acceptable. We need to search and find what is acceptable to God and his will. As we yield our bodies and our minds to the Lord, we'll be able to prove and live out what God's will is for us. And that's where you come to the spot. You say, Pastor, where do you get that at? It's the idea I'm presenting my body, I'm renewing my mind, and I'm allowing the Word of God to be a discerner. And the Word of God is renewing my mind, and I'm able to prove what is acceptable and not acceptable. When the world sees you and me living by an absolute spiritual mindset, they will know that we've been transformed by the power of God's grace. When they see God working and when they see God is moving and they see God blessing and God using a life, when they see people's souls being saved and when they see God answering prayers, they're going to say, you know what? They're living a life that's acceptable to God when they see God work and move. And last but not least, not only does it say that you may prove what is good because God's word is good, and we're going to be able to prove what is acceptable. And we need to get to the spot that we look at things and be a critic of what's right and wrong based off of a submissive heart and a transformed life and a transformed mind. And it's perfect. Look what it says. It says that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That word perfect it sounds pretty cool, doesn't it? He said, well, how can I know what the perfect will of God is? Well, if you're looking for the good will of God, accepting God's will is good, and you're proving what is acceptable to God, then God's will be perfect for you. You say, why is it called perfect? It's because we can add nothing to God's plan that will prove it. We can add nothing to God's plan that would improve it. If God's got a plan for you, it's his perfect will. When he reveals his will to us, we need to realize that it's God that sees the end from the beginning. We realize that it's God that sees how it's going to work out and how he has designed you and how he has made you. And this is the reason why he made you the way you were. This is the reason why he put you in this place. He gave you this family. He gave you these talents. He gave you these resources. And it's God's perfect will for you that as you have a submissive heart and a transformed mind and you're living for him, it's his perfect will. It's not what I would choose. It probably not what you would choose. But it's what the God of the universe that knows and placed you here, understands everything you've ever thought, everything you've ever done, knows your fears, knows your strengths, knows your weaknesses, knows the number of hairs on your head. He says, this is my will for you. And it's perfect because it came from God. So what is your desire tonight? Said, Pastor, I would love to know how to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That would be awesome. I want to live in God's will. It starts off in verse number one. God, this is your life. it's not mine. Whatever it is you want, Lord. And then we shun the mold that the world and the devil is trying to push down our throats. And then we say, I'm going to shape my mind by renewing it over and over and over in my heart and mind, and allowing the Word of God to be the discerner of my intents of my heart, and the discerner of what is right and what is wrong. And then I can know what God's will is and accept it. And it's going to be perfect, because I cannot improve upon God's plan. It's a way to understand that God has made me the way He intended to make me. He set me here where He's intended me to be, and I can take His will and do it according to His plan. You say, Pastor, I want to do more. Be satisfied with God's perfect will. Embrace it because it's good. Embrace it because it's acceptable. Embrace it because it's His plan for your life. But don't embrace something that when you're not being submissive to Him. Don't embrace something when you're conforming to the world. Don't embrace something that you're not daily renewing your mind and letting the Word of God rule and reign in your heart and mind. But you say, well, I would love to know how to figure out what that good and perfect and acceptable will of God is. I want that. Yield your life. Yield your heart. And let God transform your mind. Then you'll be able to know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So where does it all come from? What does this have to do with revival? Well, see, I think a revived heart, a revived life, it's going to be one who is submissive. And as we are submissive, God will transform us to where we can know His good and acceptable and perfect will. So I don't want us to sit there and use and throw around the word revival and say, you know what, good meeting, good this, good that, God really did this. I want us to come to a spot and ask ourselves, am I submissive? Revival is seeking God. Revival is a submissive heart. Revival is a transformed life. And I'm not saying you're to stage number three, but I'm saying that you're in that pattern and you're allowing God to do a work so you can come to that spot where you can say, I know this is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's not something He's trying to hide from you. He wants you to know it. He desires for you to live it. But it starts with seeking after Him, submitting to Him, and allowing Him to shape and transform your lives. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed, for a time of prayer and invitation. I know that God worked in